This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Like, you could really establish yourself if you make that run, if you do it. I mean, you could really establish yourself as one of the premier places to play in college basketball if you're a guard. Because you look at PJ, we had questions, man, you're going to go from one of the worst teams in the country to Memphis. Like, how are you going to? And he keeps it up.
He did it where it mattered.
Right.
And then he did it against a big-time non-conference schedule.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Tyrese
Maui.
Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
Best year he's ever had. Coming over from a power league, coming over to here, you wondered, all right, best percentages, best everything.
Yeah.
And then again, if you marry that with, oh, by the way, we broke through and we got NIL for you.
Bro, you're popping.
And Dane Danger came in and as he was a bench guy at Illinois, comes here as a starter and thrives.
The top portal guys are calling you then, bro.
Bro, I'm telling you, you would become the spot. People would like
it's true.
Jeremy Fears at Michigan State, if he leaves, his dad was talking about it on Twitter yesterday. You call him, yo, I got a million for you at Memphis. Come here, be the man next to Haggerty. I'm just telling you, man, like, you got
to really roll.
You know, you really, it's Jeremiah Fears at Oklahoma. My bad, not Jeremy, but Jeremiah Fears at Oklahoma. So anyway, there's a lot on the line residually, depending on how far Memphis takes this, I feel like. Because
yep.
I agree with you. If they do make a Sweet 16, that's stamped.
And not to mention, you want to max, you know, sort of like the Lions, and you're losing all them assistants, so you better cash in. Like Tyrese Hunter here for one.
That's it.
You know, you want to take advantage of this while you got him.
Exactly.
Because we know a lot of it's going to be gone next year.
Exactly.
And in many ways, you'll be starting over. But, yeah, man, you want to get the most out of it you can.
All right, we'll come back. Part of the pod is going to join us at 125. We'll talk to him about this conversation and more. Stick around. Jason DeJohn, Howdy Trying FM, ESPN. Love Group at the Realist Agency is here for you. If you're thinking about selling your home, it's that time. Get with the experts. They're going to help you make the most money for your home. That's the goal, right? That's the idea. You want to be a first-time home buyer? You're a little nervous about the interest rates? Don't worry. LiveLove going to take you through it all. You'll be glad you called, glad you reached out. So to LiveLoveMemphis.com.
Yep, regardless of the price of the home you're selling or the price range of the home you're looking to buy, they take care of it all from $10,000 to $10 million plus whatever it is. Out in Eads, DeSoto County. Nashville, if that's where you want to go. We won't hold it against you so long as you enlist the help of Live Love. No, seriously, they're the best. At this point, they need to be one of your calls, 901-625-5200. And at the very least, she'll be a great resource for you, Jennifer Carstens. And her mission is to improve Memphis in a very specific way. And that's to get folks out of renting situations where that rent just keeps going up, 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 and into ownership situations. That's how you make the city better. Folks got equity. They're dug in, 901-625-5200. It's the Live Love Memphis, Live Love Nash, and Live Love DeSoto teams at the Real Estate Agency.
By the way, did you happen to watch the hockey game last night?
I left Court of Gold when I got the ESPN notification that hockey was going to overtime. I had watched some of the second period, but then came back for overtime and saw us go down.
Okay.
We had our chances in overtime. Should have scored. That Canadian goalie really did a heck of a job early in OT to keep us out.
Yeah.
Well, I felt like we'd missed our chance there.
Yeah.
And then Canada goes on in.
Fiend.
Now, you know, this is a...
Fiend.
He's a hockey man.
You a hockey man?
I am a hockey man, yes, sir.
Tampa Bay Lightning?
Real.
No, weirdly enough, not. Of course, by lineage of Snowbirds, so Rangers fan.
Hey, man, I can't really keep up with you, man.
I mean, John doesn't understand that language.
I understand what a Snowbird is, but I'm trying to figure out why you're picking and choosing which Snowbird teams to be a fan of.
My parents, not big baseball people, not the biggest baseball people, so it was just, I'm rooting for the hometown team there.
So you didn't grow up with a baseball team? Is that...
No, I mean, I'm from Tampa.
Like, oh, you're from Tampa. Okay, gotcha. Makes sense. Okay. You're not from New York.
No, the family is, though.
Got it. Okay, understood. I'll be honest, I didn't watch any of it.
Oh, we can tell.
I didn't watch any of it. Because it's, in the end, it's not the Olympics, you know? It doesn't matter.
It kind of felt like it with the USA chance last night.
You know, I did see that the United States said that they, you know, feel like, okay, now we're taking it seriously. Hockey is a... You know, big thing for us now.
I think it was huge for the sport, clearly. The sport would say it was big for them in terms of interest and becoming front page news.
Yeah.
The sport would say this week was an absolute win for them. Anytime you're talking about it as mainstream as hockey was talked about through this Four Nations, it's a heightened level, let's be real, of attention. So it was great for just the sport of hockey, it appeared.
Yeah.
You know.
How many professional hockey players do you, and I'm asking this honestly, do you think were produced and made at the Mall of Memphis ice rink? I mean, do you think we had at least one come through there and discover their love of the ice?
Yeah.
It was a great setting. Now, I tried to ice skate once on that ice rink, but I had a hard time balancing on the blade.
Imagine.
My foot kept, you know.
I wonder if you were the only one who's experienced that.
I don't think so, you know, because you want to talk so tough. What was your ice skating rink experience like?
Bro, I'm not going to do this with you.
Why? I mean, it's an American pastime now. Y'all trying to tell me how important hockey is. Every American has had an ice skating experience.
Get yourself focused, because I'm about to turn the page. You didn't tell me that Court of Gold has two executive producers named Barack Obama and Michelle Obama.
I did not tell you that.
Because if you had.
Yeah.
You talk about heightened. My desire to watch this would have, from the get-go, been up. Because here's the thing you realize. Because of them, they're getting unprecedented access. And not just with Team USA. As John has pointed out, they're behind the scenes on all the contenders of last year's Olympics in Paris. And so you have the locker room scenes with Jokic and Serbia. You have Canada and SGA and Dylan Brooks. And you've got France with Wimby and Fournier. And this thing, because of that, I mean, let's be real. You know, to get that kind of access behind the scenes from the other countries, well, they gotta believe in what you're doing. They gotta trust you. And I mean, clearly the Obama's presence in this has helped in terms of how they're viewed worldwide. You would think it probably did.
Yeah.
They're obviously now involved in movie making and all sorts of things now. But I think what it does is, I don't know if it's just their name, whatever else, but there is an unprecedented level of access with this Netflix documentary that does make it worth tuning in for. We've played a couple of the clips with Anthony Edwards and Kevin Durant, but this whole thing's good. And really, they use the Dream Team, the original one, as the point where, okay, we reestablished our dominance with Jordan and Magic and Barkley, we get that. But that's where the point where we also, in our way, inspired the rest of the world. And the whole documentary, and I won't give away any spoilers or anything, but you'll realize this from the get-go, because that's the point they're making, is how the world has caught up since then. And in many cases past you, look at the last, how many MVPs is it that are not American-born going back straight?
Last six?
Yeah, something like, I mean. It'll
be seven and this year with Shea Gilchrist.
Also, what was it, FIBA, that we didn't perform well? I mean, they go through the history of how clearly the rest of the world's caught up, and you're brought to that reality. And so that's why, you know, then the interviews and how much this still matters to the Americans, but more so that where you're really enlightened is how much it matters still and how they think, they look at you as they're your equal now. You know, you hear that from Fournier, from the France team, and those Canadians. I mean, we know Dylan Brooks and the type of stuff he's, but they clearly feel they're the superior team. So it's a history sort of walk down memory lane in terms of how we dominated and how that's changed, but then also this incredible behind the scenes interviews and access that you're getting that clearly was helped, if not, you know, if not a ton of it, by the fact that the Obamas were involved.
Yeah, I did not know. I mean, I
just thought he was in a scene.
That's
where
what I thought.
Where they met up in Paris and you're meeting with the former president. They've got their fingerprints all over this as executive producers.
Yeah, that's good.
And I'll bet you that helped get them access.
Yes.
With the Canadas.
And that would make sense why the Obamas are involved and featured as much as they are, right?
Yeah, yeah, they opened up the doors. Yeah, when they're involved, yeah, you obviously trusted this thing was going to be, you know, major.
So you've changed your tune on a little bit?
It's totally flipped me. If nothing, I mean, real talk. Because when you initially started this conversation about this documentary, oh, well, I just saw it. You know, why do I want a documentary on what I just saw that was essentially some, you know, we went and won gold. I'm more interested in Penny Hardaway and that select team beating the dream team in a scrimmage. And there's that HBO documentary out there as well. But no, now that I'm, you know, sort of fully educated on what Netflix has done here and who was involved and now seeing what was the result of that, this unprecedented access, oh, man, I would recommend it. I'm in episode 3. I think it's 6 episodes, Court of Gold on Netflix right now. It was outstanding.
Yeah, I'll probably catch up on that tonight is the plan.
And you're right, KD, that was real, especially the part about how you can tell from the mom, too. What they came out of, most people don't. They, as mom said, we were supposed to be a statistic. So for us to be here in Paris, you know, you look at Kevin's career, that was their point, is extremely blessed because plenty of folks with their background, you know, never even dreamed of experiencing what that family has. And so, you know, that emotion from KD that I was questioning early this week when we just played the clip and didn't necessarily have all the context, especially about him coming out of that, sounds like meager, you know, sounds like an awful upbringing at some points at least, pretty moving. It was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we have that. And then have you watched your documentary? I've been told about the Dream Team one that Larry Bird has an epic quote in there about Penny.
I have not been able to see it yet. Just because I hadn't been able to pull it up at a time that it's on. So, but I fully intend to, because we know they got the interviews with Penny, but I'm eager to hear what Magic has to say about Penny, what Bird apparently said about Penny.
Yeah.
It better be nice. It better be full of respect.
Now, have you seen any reviews? Like, do they have footage?
I've seen no. Yeah, there's footage. I don't know if it's
what's the thing called?
How thorough it is.
We beat the Dream Team.
Something like that.
Yeah. In a practice where nobody tried.
It's a scrimmage, bro. Jordan and Magic were out there. Yeah. Barkley was out there. What are you talking about?
Yeah. Okay. I'm reading. They showed lots of clips from the only video that was taken from the game.
Yeah, I remember there was like one. Yeah. We've seen a lot of them already.
Right.
But it's going to be the interviews that hopefully open up a little, you know, shed a little bit more light on that game and how seriously the big boys took it. The veterans, I expect the NBA guys at that time, Magic and those guys, to say, well, we took them lightly, you know, and that they didn't really win. No, but I want to hear from Penny and from Chris Webber about what really happened.
What really happened that day? The day we won a scrimmage.
Dude, do you know what that team went on and did?
Yeah, they
punished.
They beat
people.
Up on the on the
poor Angola dudes. They asked Barkley about Angola. That man said, "All I know, Angola in trouble." No respect.
Well, dude, back then, and they
were going to punish folks, and they did.
As the Court of Gold documentary reminds you, the world is catching up, thanks to that 92 domination. Right,
yeah, that's what inspired them.
If we're gonna be on the stage,
Dirk Nowitzki said that was the year. He said, "I want to do this for my country." Watching 92 as a young man.
Now he couldn't. I don't believe
he couldn't.
I don't think he ever did it for his country. Did he?
I don't know. That's when he said he wanted to get good at basketball.
But his
and they also Tony Parker was also mentioned. He went to one of the exhibition games apparently as a kid. And then was always considered a phenom in France. That they didn't believe when he said, "No, my goal is NBA." Some of them's like, "No, man, you just be good here in France."
Right?
He had completely a different plans in mind.
The team that always gave the United States trouble was Spain. I mean, with the Gasols and Juan Carlos Navarro and those guys. But I got a lot of catching up to do, man. I got to finish Court of Gold. I got to see what's up on your We Beat the Dream.
Yeah, I think it'll be worth it for you. I don't know if it's going to be as good as this quart of gold.
Yeah, because you won't have that. I mean, it's just.
You don't have the act
behind the scenes.
You just got
stuff.
This one video to work off of, and you're hoping the interviews give you.
I mean, what you've noticed very quickly in the quart of gold is like how much it does mean to everybody that's playing to win the Olympics. It's not just like, oh, a casual summer league. I mean, they are angry at each other in the locker room.
Bro, the other teams?
Yes.
The Serbian team particularly.
Yes. Serbian,
Jokic was
France.
Mad at Bogdanović for going there. You're guarding Adebayo instead of Durant. What you leaving Durant for? Like, that kind of stuff in the locker room. That's like, whoa, this is your teammate you're tearing up there.
Yes.
That's how Jokic was dead serious about winning.
Yes.
And they got blown out that opening
that the first
game.
One they did. Yes. Yep. And then they were leading.
He was mad.
The second one. But
and then the coach of the Serbian coach, I can't put you on that dude. I made the biggest mistake thinking that you could guard him.
That's how they
he's
talk.
He's tearing him
that's
up.
That's how they talk.
He's tearing
Europe,
him up
bro.
For the whole team. The access is unbelievable.
It is great. Seriously, if you haven't watched it yet, you should. Court of Gold on Netflix. All right, we'll come back. We'll talk to Parth, beat writer of Gold for the Daily Memphian. We'll get his thoughts on the Memphis basketball team, their season, seeding, and more. Jason and John.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
9.9 FM ESPN.
All right, we're back. Jason and John, 9.9 FM ESPN. And as promised, his name is Parth Upadhyay, fantastic Tigers beat writer for the Daily Memphian. He joins us now like he does every Friday. We're grateful to have him. Parth, brother, how are things in Tigers land coming off of what feels like a deflating loss, especially when you look at what it's done to the Tigers metrically and obviously where they're seated now?
Yeah, obviously was tough to stomach for everybody involved, right? Penny, the players, and everyone else on that staff after the Wichita State loss. But the encouraging thing was even though it was tough, right? You could hear it in their voice, you could hear it in their comments. What was said ultimately by Tyrese Hunter, by Nicholas Jourdain, by Penny, that hey, we're not going to let this loss define us. This is one loss, only second loss in conference play. And Tyrese Hunter basically promised that, you know, he wouldn't let this thing go, right? Like, he wouldn't let this spiral or, you know, become more than just one loss and that they would bounce back. So I think that reaction was certainly encouraging if you're a Tigers fan. You just compare that to last year, right, where a loss like this would spiral, would lead to kind of deflation overall. I just don't see that happening with this group.
Parth, what was going on with Dane Danger in that Wichita State loss was effective early, and I've waited all week to ask you this question in terms of, you know, getting him involved again, because what we've said week to week with you, we loved what we were seeing with the balance offensively, and that seemed gone against Wichita State. What went down there?
Yeah, it's tough. I think it seemed like early on, obviously he had some success. He scored the first
four.
I want to say. What? Two of their first three or four baskets.
Yeah.
But then it seemed like, you know, Penny was trying to trade offense for defense, so to speak, right? Like, he'd bring in Musa, to guard Ballard and other bigs that Wichita State had.
Mm-hmm.
And when that would happen, Dane would come out. And it just seemed like, you know, he wasn't able to get back in that rhythm that he had early on. And I think there's something to that, right? Like, it was more of a game for Musa. But, you know, ideally, if there was a way to play them both together, which is tough, I understand. But it would have been nice to see Dane kind of remain involved, especially with that hot start.
All right, so there was a bit of, I don't know, I thought it would be a good development. I really did. I was very hopeful that it would matter.
We all
Memphis.
Were.
Yeah. That San Francisco was upgraded like a flagrant foul to a quad one win. And Wichita State has also firmly established itself as a quad two team. However, the net is unimpressed. The net is unimpressed by Memphis and those developments. I don't know. I mean, I do think this, Parth, I'm going to go on a little bit of a tangent here. I think we have become, as a sport and as a media, a little bit too obsessed with the analytics of college basketball. It's almost like it's taking away from the experience. Like, I understand that they matter. I understand that they have a place. They have a lot of value, right? But it's almost like we can't enjoy a result without consulting the analytics part of it. And I do think that takes away from the experience overall. But while we're here, the analytics once again seem to still not like Memphis. And were you surprised that Memphis did not get more of a bump than they did?
A little bit, but how much of a bump can you expect, right? Like, it's you're adding you're going from a high quad two to a low quad one. They didn't go from, you know what I'm saying, like a low quad two to a high, you know, it just wasn't it moved quads. The win moved quads, yes, but it wasn't like something drastic. And it was one win. How much can that move the needle overall? I don't know. I do think if Wichita State can continue doing what it's doing, now it's won, five straight, and it remains in that quad two territory and gets kind of to be a healthier quad two, you know, you kind of couple that with Memphis hopefully hitting its stride these last five games, you'll see that needle move more. But, you know, John, as we've talked about on the podcast, Daily Memphian Tigers podcast, like, this late in the season, it's not that you're cemented where you are. Like, things can still change, things can still evolve, but you're not going to see those drastic, you know, needle moving jumps with one win being added or one strong performance being added.
Parth, where are you at now on sort of seed ceiling? You know, say things go a best case scenario. You win out like you're talking about. You get on the roll and you take care of business in the conference tournament. Is five too high now? Is six as high as you can get? Sort of what do you think that the ceiling is for the Tigers?
Yeah, I think obviously absolute ceiling would be maybe, you know, if everything goes right. By everything, I mean, obviously Tigers not only handle their business, but, you know, teams right above you kind of take some else. Then you can maybe sneak into that last five, possibly. But that seems not probable, right? Like, possible, but not probable is how I'd phrase that. To be a five, six, seven is more likely. I think if Tigers take care of business, then six should be almost a guarantee as long as they win out rest of the way. And like I said, they went out with style and they went out with other teams taking L's, then maybe you can sneak into the five, but we're getting dangerously close, right? To that region that, you know, nobody wanted to be in, again, which is that 8-9 territory. So I think obviously common sense to avoid that. Certainly can't take any losses outside of the UAB loss. And even the UAB loss, depending on, you know, how everything else shakes out, could put you right on the cusp of that, if not right there.
When you think about the kind of team that Memphis would excel against in an NCAA tournament matchup and a team that Memphis would struggle with in an NCAA tournament matchup, and I'm not asking like specifics, but give me an example of a team that you think Memphis would like to play and a team, you know, that you think Memphis would not like to play in an NCAA tournament matchup.
Yeah, I think not like to play is easy enough to identify, right? We've seen it time and time again. That'd be the teams like Mississippi State, Auburn, Wichita State, like teams that are big, physical.
One of those teams is not like the other.
Right, no, of course. No, and I think two of those teams are not like the other, right? Like, Auburn's just an anomaly because
right.
it's one of the greatest.
No, I agree. They would definitely not want to play Auburn.
Basketball history. And Wichita State's not like the others because Wichita State is a team in the American Athletic Conference that's kind of average at best. So,
Yeah, in two ways, but you get what I'm saying. Like those big physical teams that have a lot of size, pound the glass, and kind of play that style of basketball, those are teams that Memphis doesn't want to see because Memphis doesn't have the size or physicality to combat that. A team that Memphis would want to see, I mean, teams that are heavily guard-oriented, right? Like an Ole Miss type of team. Because if games turn into track meets, then we've seen Memphis win those type of battles.
In terms of P.J. Haggerty, who at one time I think maybe we had even penciled in as at least a first or second team All-American, hopefully it can still be that. Do you think in terms of – because David Cobb from over at CBSSports.com has pointed out, he thinks that, you know, if Haggerty, who's up for the Jerry West Shooting Guard Award, if he's, you know, if he's to win this, his point was that folks have got to still be watching Memphis in the AAC. You know, because we're so far removed from non-conference. Do you think he's in a good position as it is? Do you how much is going to depend on how Memphis plays the rest of the way, and how much depends on whether or not he takes another step up? Because obviously that Wichita State game was not characteristic of what we've seen from him all season.
Yeah, I think it's both of those last two things you said. It's, you know, how Memphis fares the rest of the way. Like, will Memphis avoid another loss, for one, obviously, and will it take care of business in kind of commanding fashion? That's the first point. And second is, like, you know, what does P.J. Haggerty do himself? Like, he had that uncharacteristic game against Wichita State, but he also had another, you know, rough game against, was it Tulane, I think, where he was sick. He played sick. So he's had a couple of those in recent games, and I think the bar is so high for him, right? Like, when he has even an average outing, it's like, oh, that's not P.J. Haggerty, right? So, you know, you're starting to see his name appear less, I feel like, on those first team All-American conversations.
Mm-hmm.
And there's still time to get back on that radar. But like you said, it's tough because, you know, nobody's watching the AAC as it is.
Right.
Right.
And they might seem less willing to give it to a 7 seed. You know what I mean? Put an All-American.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Seems like that's hurt his chances as well. I'm hopefully still, you know, among the favorites, but if you start dropping to a 7 or 8, 9, you feel like that hurts his chances individually as well.
No, for sure. So I think it's everything you just said. You know, it's, you know, can Memphis kind of make some noise here down the stretch,
yeah,
and get back on the national radar? Not that it's not on the radar, but kind of become, you know, a talking point again, so to speak.
I'm talking to Parth Upadhyay, joins us every single Friday here on the show. All right, I want to get your thoughts on a couple of other random things. CDR is going to be inducted into the M Club Hall of Fame tomorrow. He'll be an M Club Hall of Famer. And, you know, how old are you?
27.
27. So you would have some recollection, I think, of that 08 Memphis team, right? What when you think of CDR, what comes to mind?
Man, I'll be honest. I didn't start really watching basketball until I think it was that season. It was 08 or 07, 08. But it was late in that season. I started watching Carolina basketball, which is the reason I love sports. Reason I kind of do what I do now.
The year that the year they got packed up.
The year they got packed up by that Mario Chalmers led Kansas team. Yes, packed up is the perfect verb there.
That's why you loved them so much. You were just how humble they were in defeat.
that was my first sports heartbreak, man, watching that packing of North Carolina.
That's right.
In the Final Four. But
Federal
my
Express.
Point being, I started watching that season so late that I have, you know, almost no recollection of Memphis. I think I watched bits and pieces of that title game, but didn't watch the whole thing in its entirety until I got this job. So in the moment, didn't realize CDR's greatness, but obviously, you know, being one of three consensus first team All-Americans in this program, like he is one of, you know, one of the greats in Memphis history, obviously, but also in, you know, past 20, 30 years of college basketball.
Is there a more overrated NBA analyst, Parth, than Vince Carter?
Wow.
Why are you taking shots at Vince?
I just figured, you know, I got a North Carolina man here. Surely he'll defend him and tell me again how good this guy is. I feel like all y'all were part of the propaganda while he was playing about how great he would be as a media guy. I get uncomfortable.
Why is that? What do you mean? Can you elaborate?
It feels so forced, bro. We're trying to make Vince this sort of face when it just it is not natural. Something is missing. Again, John won't join me. He feels like it's a personal attack. It's not.
It's BHM.
I just don't think. I think he got hyped up so much. We were putting him on Grizzlies games when he was still on the roster. You know, he'd be on the injury list, and we'd have him on games, getting him prepped for what everybody said was going to be this great broadcast career, and I'm just not seeing it, Parth. I blame you and the North Carolina propaganda.
I think, yeah, his personality...
Something's off.
...isn't exactly tailored, right? Like, for, I don't know. Like, he's not the most colorful guy, is what I'll say.
Not the most colorful.
Yeah, that's a nice way of putting it.
That's a nice way of putting it.
Now
I can't put my finger on it, but I think I would. I'd probably have that in the description.
I need you to go watch on YouTube Memphis versus UCLA. Okay, I need you to go watch that from 2008, and then
it was like 10.
I know. We're gonna. But he's the Memphis beat writer. He needs to know his history, right? It's just part of it. And then you knew yours. You knew all your history. It's just part of what comes with it. And then I want you to do another thing. I want you to go watch the 2007-2008 UAB game at UAB when Chris Douglas Roberts went absolutely ridiculous. He had like 32.
Okay, that one I have not seen.
Yeah, you got to see
that
one.
I've heard of that one, obviously, but I've not seen that one.
They outscored UAB 9-1 in the final minute and a half or something like
that. Those games were intense.
And that was when, you know, the UAB guy got slapped by Pierre Niles.
In the crowd, yeah.
Yeah. So you got to go watch that one. You'll enjoy it. And once again, thanks for being with us.
Appreciate
as always,
you, Parth.
Appreciate you.
No, appreciate y'all, man. Thank you.
Yes, he is Parth Upadhyay, covers the Tigers for the Daily Memphian. Yeah, I mean, listen, I don't blame him for not knowing. You know, he's young, but you gotta go.
We're local. We grew up in it.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying? He grew up a UNC fan, so you figure he knows that whole history. He's got a, you know, you hold everybody over there at the DM to such a high standard, sir.
Yes, I do. And that's the way it needs
every day,
to be.
Every day, Drew yesterday, Parth today. Yep. Well, we appreciate that.
Now, I've been told.
You're running the sports department.
I've been told I don't run it. I am the Elon Musk of the sports department.
You do set the standard. The standard's the standard over there.
Yeah.
You set it, apparently.
It's the DM Oge. The Demoge.
Gotcha.
Okay?
Yep.
And I'm going to start doing that over here, too.
No. I don't think you have that kind of authority over here.
Nobody over here has that kind of authority.
Well, number one program director of the country does.
That is true. Number
we'll
one,
shut it down if we have to.
Number one, you're right. But he's not here today, is he? He's occupied.
And sounds like the mice want to play.
That's all right. That's exactly right. Anyway, good stuff there. And once again, congratulations to CDR for getting inducted into the Absolutely. Club Hall of Fame. Will you be doing the inducting? Will you be speaking?
Yeah, got something prepared should they need me.
Well, I mean, it wouldn't be that hard. I just say,
it's like a SIP deal where they call me up.
When you think about the image, the iconic image, it's CDR dunking on Kevin Love.
Oh, yeah.
That's the image.
It is.
And so, again, congratulations to CDR. All right, we'll come back. We're going to wrap this thing up here on is it Friday? Wow. It's a Friday. Jason and John, how do you try to fam? ESPN. Zen Sports is where you should be doing your betting. This weekend, great college basketball slate tomorrow for sure. Grizzlies back in action. Because over at Zen Sports, one grand prize winner is going to be able to win two VIP tickets to the Men's Basketball Conference Championship game in Nashville. And if you're not the grand prize winner, it's all good. Got a shot to win one of 10 small prizes as well. New customers who sign up with the code Martin, MARTIN, going to get 500 bonus entries. Head to zensports.com/sweepstakes for a full list of rules. Zen Sports betting just got better. Gambling problem, call 1-800-889-9789. We're back, Jason and John. I'm trying to FM ESPN, wrapping up here on a Friday. Big plans for you this weekend, my friend?
Not really.
Okay. A little low-key weekend.
I'm going to tell you what my plans are. Okay. I got a brand new GE oven. And in my home in Cordova, we've been without an oven for a while, but too long. So I've been looking forward to this day and throwing a pizza off up in that thing.
A pizza?
Yes, a pepperoni pizza for a while. So it's going to be a treat for me when I can just get home and have normal things.
Wow.
Including a frozen pizza.
That's
Baking
awesome.
Baking a new GE oven. Sometimes just the simple in life can do it for you. Weren't you just telling me earlier this week sometimes you just got to stop, right, and enjoy the simple thing?
Yeah. That's all you can do, man.
Okay. Well, there's the start of my weekend.
Now, let me ask you this.
How about you, man?
Well, I'm going to focus
on Let me guess. Betting.
You're the one with the new oven, okay? You're the one that's exciting.
Bro, I can't wait.
Now,
I'm serious.
You talk about this pizza, right?
It's been sitting in the fridge, couldn't cook it.
What kind of pizza will it be?
It varies.
I mean, will it be a Tombstone pizza?
Sometimes Tombstone, Totino's? Sometimes DiGiorno. We don't stick with it.
Okay,
sometimes
you're incredibly...
it's just the Kroger brand.
Damn.
You know, it depends
when
on
when you're feeling cheap.
Not
when
me.
When the bonus ain't hidden.
Depends on what the wife is spending because
wife does the groceries.
She's handling that.
That's right. I do.
And I really appreciate it.
Now
for it.
I did. I need to bring this up with you while we're talking about pizza on the Super Bowl on the night of the Super Bowl. I was over at Coop's house. You know Coop.
Yep.
And he had Chicago deep dish pizza from Lou Malnati's.
Wow.
Now, let me say this. Did not like it. Did not enjoy it.
Because you're soft.
Well, it takes...
That's what happens.
It takes a lot of work to eat a deep dish pizza.
Yeah, sometimes a fork, you know, just want to get...
It's not really enjoyable. It's like lasagna on hard bread.
I was my first time with it. Ooh, this is a job.
But I like pizza
and we
to
sound
be,
soft
you know,
when we do that.
Nice and greasy, and I don't want it to be like I'm eating like a rock.
Well, New York pizza, you would fall right. That's what you want.
Yeah, I like New York pizza.
It would fall in line with what you with what
I mean,
the convenience.
You can't
you like.
Really believe that Chicago pizza is the best, can you? I mean,
no, I actually prefer New York pizza.
Yeah,
but now Chicago Italian beef. Chicago Italian sausage, yeah, that's a different level of eating right there, bro. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Italian beef sausage?
Dude, a combo. You get the Italian sausage with the Italian beef, and you put it together, and it's a heart attack waiting to happen. It's good stuff.
Perfect. Love that. Okay, I just wanted to let you know that.
That's as good as food as there is in this world.
And I think, what does Detroit have? Detroit has the, it's some kind of specialty pizza that they have up there.
I thought Eminem sells spaghetti or something.
He sells mom's spaghetti up
that's
there.
That's
what you
I know? Thought. Yeah,
but Detroit,
that's real big.
Detroit has a pizza. You know, Memphis has pizza, but we don't have like a special kind. We just have a lot of spots. You know,
come on, bro. We're known for barbecue and wings.
I know, but when you eat,
you're the only person out here trying to make Memphis a pizza place.
We have pizza places here, though, bro.
We have some good ones, but we are not known.
But see, you're
for
the
pizza.
Guy that's just going to call the hut. You know, you just want to call the hut when it's time for you, don't you?
I will.
Nothing wrong with that.
Dude,
I, there is nothing wrong with that.
Dude, I just had a
362-3333.
Dude, that for Little Caesars.
Oh, now that's come on.
Dude, I was just there last week. Hot and ready. What don't you understand?
Is it still $5?
Hot no, they going up.
Well, they cost
about, probably about $7.
$7?
Probably $7, maybe even $7.99 after tax.
Oh my God.
Oh, it's again hot and ready.
That
ready kind of
takes them out of the equation.
What makes it because you don't have to wait. You're not waiting. It's immediate, usually.
But it's just
and
not...
if they tell me 15 minutes, I'm out because it defeats the purpose
that's
of being.
Right.
This is why I'm here, because y'all got to have it hot and ready.
I don't have to wait.
Understand?
Yeah.
And I'll keep you apprised of these fast food joints, because then we know you're really not going to them.
No, I like
y'all,
to
y'all are eating
your...
all the catered stuff. Where'd you have your pizza from? It's someplace I never heard of this weekend.
Yeah, it was from our Hustle Maine.
It sounded like a place I needed to
Hustle
hear
Hustle Maine
of.
Pizza.
I like that you're supporting local.
That's my guy,
that
bro.
Has to be local.
That's my guy. He's from Coney Island. He's from Coney Island. He's moved to Memphis.
I had never heard of it.
I've talked about him before, but man, I love him because he's every time I pay him, right?
I hope so.
I went to
a lot of pizza.
It was not for trade. I pay him. He goes, "Don't tip me." He's like, "The cost is the cost. I baked it into the cost. Do not tip me. I'm not accepting a tip from you." He baked it into the price. He says, "I'm trying to change the game."
Bro, give me his number after we leave.
I will.
And then maybe you need to be putting him out there. He sounds like a treasure.
Bro, Hustle Maine Pizza, Ant.
Hustle Maine Pizza.
Yeah. He hasn't got his brick and mortar spot yet.
Okay.
But he will.
Well, it was good pizza.
And it was good pizza.
Me and Chris tore it up.
And I'm
pulling
for him.
Shout out to Hustle Maine.
I'm pulling for him. I'll give you his info.
Okay.
Yeah, that's where you need to go.
Absolutely.
If you're going to do the outside pizza thing.
Okay.
Anyway, that's going to do it for us today on the show. Thanks to Parthi Padiai for joining us. Thanks to Anthony Sane. Jeffrey and Company up next. Don't miss it. For Jason, I'm John. We're gone.